Hey, greetings, everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. I want to thank you for listening in today. It's a joy to be able to bring you truth from God's Word. Today's topic, and it's quite a different one, sexual self-gratification. Yeah, hold fast with me on this one. Bear with me. Even if you don't have this temptation or you think, I don't want to hear about that, listen in. I'm going to cover it from a biblical angle that really exposes the real issues at play. And even if that's not your temptation, as I said, I think you're going to find some keys to other areas of your life battling in the flesh in this faith life that are going to help you. So bear with me and see if it doesn't edify you just the same. You know, having a website that goes all around the world and traveling and street preaching and witnessing to many, many people, I get requests and questions about this topic, sexual self-gratification, and I normally only address it with people that I'm closely united to and studying the Word of God with. It's not something I go into out in the street, obviously. Use wisdom, right? But today I feel I need to cover it and do a public teaching on it in a biblical fashion to edify others. Notice I said I'm going to cover it in a biblical fashion. Remember that and then test me and see if I don't do that. Over the last 2 years, for some reason, this topic has come up more than in the rest of my ministry over the years, so I thought it was important to go ahead and address it. And I want to state right up front, let's be clear about this. The Bible never covers this topic in any way detailed in any scripture verses that I know of. It doesn't. It covers sodomy, homosexuality, adultery, animal bestiality. It doesn't cover sexual self-gratification directly. So, we have to be very careful as we teach and help people and disciple and discern topics that we don't go to places that God's Word doesn't go, and we don't get involved in bringing up things and darkness and acts that we should not go to. Paul says this, Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Yeah, this sin kind of falls into that, doesn't it? I'm appalled. I'll be honest with you. I'm appalled almost probably weekly when I hear about or see or talk to people that get involved, so-called Christians, that get involved in talking about sex acts, delving into sexual therapy, all types of wrangling into their sex lives. They go into all these details. I don't think it's wise. It's not using good discernment. We have to go into the areas of life that, yes, we're affected by, but we got to get to the root of the problem and not focus on all the peripheral issues. And I think that you're going to see this is one of them. We have to be careful that we don't speak of sin more than we ought to, right? We should be speaking of the glory of God. We should be speaking of the fixes that we need in our life as far as how do we fix this, walk in the Spirit, what do we do, not focusing on the sin and those things that happen in the darkness. It can really stumble others if you think about it. So we have to be very careful on these topics like porn, like sexual problems, like self-gratification. Again, while Scripture does not directly address this head-on, it does address in-depth the root of the problem. So that's how we're going to approach it. The root of the problem, it's sin and the flesh of man. That's the issue, and we're going to uncover that. It's kind of like if your leg starts hurting. Most times, when your leg starts hurting, it may not even be an issue with any part of your leg itself, but it could be an issue with a nerve it's connected to, a torn muscle close to it, or maybe a tumor. And so what we learn is that a lot of times the symptoms are not the disease, right? Makes sense. So it is with humans. Sexual issues are not really the disease most times, but the symptom is our flesh, our fallen man. That's the disease. It's at enmity with God. We must understand that. Romans 8, 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, this is so true. The carnal fallen man is at enmity with God. He can't please God. He can't follow God. That's what we have to address, not just sexual desire. That's kind of the symptom. The real disease is your fallen flesh. So let's be bold and wise, and let's dig right into this topic and see if we can get it done to glorify God and edify others. Now, as I've dealt with this topic over the years, two questions always come up. They're the most common. In fact, they're the only ones I could really think of. Two questions. Is it sinful to do it? How do I control my sexual desires? Well, let's cover these two questions. It's going to help people in this area. And keep listening. It's going to help you in many areas of your life. And I'm going to cover some of those areas. This might not affect you, but other areas might. So let's cover the two questions. We'll go right at it. And we will see that the fallen flesh is the issue. Question number one, is it sinful to do it? Well, forget about opinions and therapy and psychologists and all that stuff. What does the Word of God say and what does it model for us? Let's build a foundation when it comes to sex. Sex was designed by the Creator God to be enjoyed between a man and a wife in marriage, not alone. Not people alone. Biblical sexual unions are always shown between a man and a woman, not a solo act or not same sex, obviously. Man with man, woman with woman, that's an abomination to God, that's sin. Go read Genesis 1 to 3, you'll see the foundation of God in marriage. This sexual intimacy that God created, let's not hide from this, God created it, right? Man didn't create all these things, body parts and how they work, God created it. It does three things. Main things. It does many things, but it does three main things. It draws man and woman together as one flesh. You can read about that in Scripture. It allows for physical intimacy and enjoyment of two people in the marriage covenant. Of course, it's an enjoyable thing. God made it that way. And it procreates the human race, builds the human family, right? That's the main reason God did it. So if we look at that for a foundation, and we ponder then the purpose of the sexual union that God created, does this self-gratification sex fit into God's plan, spiritual and physical? Or is it outside of it totally, leaning on your selfishness and your carnality? I think if you ponder it and you're honest with yourself, you're going to find out it does not fit it at all to God's plan, and it truly is of our selfish, fallen nature. Remember, we're talking about selfish here. Self is not ever a focus of the saving faith of the Most High God. It's not. We're not to focus on self. We're not to be about ourselves. We're not to serve ourselves. We're not to please ourselves. That's what this is all about, isn't it? But sadly, it is the focus of our inner fallen man, the flesh. It is the focus of churchianity to fill up buildings. It is the focus of modern psychology that's crept into the so-called body of Christ, churchianity. And it is the focus of many people's modern theology. So selfishness is sinful. That's where this act comes from. It's a pure selfish act. What it displays, think about this, is it displays a lack of discipline and control. It's feeding a lustful way to meet our own urgent needs. It's not an expression of love or unity or togetherness in a bond of marriage that God created it for. No, it's a selfish act outside of everything God did. So the solo self-behavior is sinful, and it leads to, like sins of the flesh, it leads to many other pitfalls, like using your imagination that eventually leads to lusting for people in public, probably in this culture now with the internet, viewing porn in the dark. It's always done in the dark, usually. And even moving on to physical fornication with others. This is a dangerous, satanic, sinful, demonic, fleshly trail to great destruction. I need to warn you about it. It's nothing innocent about it. It leads to nothing and no good. Allowing imaginations, that's a big part of this, is a wicked thing. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 10:5. I love this verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Taking every thought captive for the obedience of Christ. That is not happening if you allow yourselves to be involved in sexual gratification and imagination, is it? No. You're not taking those thoughts captive for Christ. We also know, as we ponder this, sexual sins are what? They're against our body. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a new or a next level of sin that we need to not tamper with lightly. Not that we tamper with any sin. We flee all sin. But be careful. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 19. Paul says, flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication, that sexual sin, sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy God which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So fornication, that's sexual sin, that would cover this sin we're talking about. Any type of sin related to the body, sexual sin, that would include this self-gratification. It's a sin against your body. Paul warns about it. Very, very dangerous. The fact is that this act comes down to, it's of the flesh. It's a matter of the heart. Think about this too. It's a matter of your heart. Jesus raised the bar way high when he said even looking with lust is adultery. Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So this idea of imagination, this idea of self-gratification, whatever you're doing or thinking about, this is not in line with God's word and God's ways. Ask yourself, how is your heart towards God who sent Christ, who died for us? He was God himself. How's your heart towards God as you're doing such things? Your heart in line with God? Is your heart ready for God? No. You're way far from him in this fleshly sin. We need to repent and turn from these things. That's why I need to cover it. Because I care about people's souls. We want to disciple. We want to all be walking on the narrow path in holiness and obedience. And I also want to cover here some important facts. I'll cover for singles and then for married people. Something to ponder that people rarely ever think about when I bring this up. Purity. The Bible calls us to purity, right? If you are single and you engage in this sin, this act, aren't you really cheating on your future spouse that you pray for, pray about, and you're wondering, or would you be mindful, or would you care that they're doing the same things you do? I mean, think about it. Do you want your future partner, which I assume you want to be godly, holy people, to be acting like animals, filling out their urges and their desires in this way? Or do you want them to be waiting in patience and godliness and holiness, praying for you, their future spouse, as they keep themselves pure and blameless? Think about it. How do you want them to be? That's how you should be acting today. Are you sinning against them and sinning against God and your body at the same time? Not a good thing. Now, to the married, I would say, if you partake in this, are you not directly acting outside of the marriage bed that you've already committed to with your partner? Here's the fact. Go read 1 Corinthians 7. Your body's not your own. The husband's is the wife's, and the wife's is the body. The husband's body is the wife's, and the wife's body is the husband's. So no matter how you try to cut it, when you do this act, you're outside of God's grand design for the marriage bed. You're also outside of God's design for people that are single. And you have to be very, very careful how you're carrying yourself in both these situations. Ponder this at great depth. Go to the scriptures and see that this is not of God. Our culture, this fallen, wicked culture here in America and all around the world, even churchianity, it's very man-centered, self-centered, flesh-centered, pleasing-centered, and it's allowing all kinds of sexual type of sins in, like gross, vile harlotry and dress, divorce and remarriage as saints, sex outside of marriage, abortion being used as, you know, birth control, transgenderism, and yes, the gay sodomite lifestyles. This is all crept into modern churchianity because it's about self. It's about being leaning towards man, not leaning towards holiness, obedience, and the things of God. As you read the scriptures and you see the characteristics of a true saint, someone born again of God. I'm talking to born again saints here via the gospel. Look at the gospel up at don'tperish.com. Saints born of God are desiring to be Christ-centered. Right? We are bought with a price. We are not our own. We know that. We think, and we discern via the Spirit and the Word and truth, not our flesh. Oh, we got to battle the flesh. Yep. But we don't willfully please the flesh. We fight against it, and we hate the sin it carries with it. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you glorifying God in this act, folks? I think you need to really give an honest answer there. The answer is no, you're not. You're not glorifying God in your spirit or in your body. So now that we have totally ascertained from God's word that this is a fleshly, selfish, sinful act, it's outside of God's plan, the answer is it sin? It is. Let's move on to question number two. How do you control this area of your life? Remember what I said in the beginning? I need to cover this biblically. Well, the Bible does not go into this exact sin in any detail and all the proclivities of it, and nor will I. I hear men, so-called Christians, talk in their testimony about all their sexual urges, all their past sexual acts, in their testimonies, giving vile, graphic details for a long time. And it far outweighs the glory of God and the gospel in their testimonies. These things they need to put behind them, to not speak of ever. It's shameful. If you had a past of a lot of fornication, say you had a past of a lot of fornication, we don't need the intimate details. We don't want to stumble people. We don't want to paint illusions. We don't want to feed imaginations with our words. Amen? So the Bible clearly does not cover this topic specifically, but it does cover the disease of this issue, this sin, and that's the sinful flesh, fornication of the flesh, the fallen man. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now I say this, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Yeah, if you live in your flesh like a fallen man does, daily, willfully, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. It's the fruit that you're not born of him at all. Go read Jesus' words. If you follow him, you don't follow him into sin. You follow him out of sin. Now let's talk about this Greek word, flesh. In Greek, it's sarx. It can mean two things. It means your physical fleshly body, like, oh, my flesh is really tired today. Or it can mean your fleshly fallen ways, your inner fallen man. How do we know the difference? Context. Always study in context. I'll give you an example. We know Jesus came in the flesh. That means he had a human form, but he didn't sin. He wasn't a fleshly man. Then we see the Bible talk about humans are in their flesh or living in sinful flesh. That means we sin. So you see the two uses of the word flesh there. We got to know the difference between those. So let's talk about the key to gaining control over this self-gratification is knowing it's about the flesh and your fallen nature. It's not really about your sex drive. People try to make it about their sex drive. It's not. The real battle to concentrate on is your flesh in your walk as you try to follow Christ. The Bible teaches us that all over the place. It's probably why the Bible does not address this problem man has, self-gratification sexually. It addresses the flesh because the Bible knows, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the real problem is the flesh, not the self-gratification. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of how we can funnel these things God put in us in the right way. When I was a pagan, I used to have a terrible temper. Got me in fights, got me in trouble. When I came to Christ, in the beginning, it was still there. This was my strong temper. It was my sin. It was in my flesh, and I didn't control it rightly. Now today, after walking with the Lord, using the Word, walking in the Spirit, I won't say the temper's completely gone. I would be a liar. But it's whittled way down to where now I rule it. It doesn't master me. And I use those strong, bold emotions that I have inside me, it's part of who I am, to battle for the Lord and people in love, in truth. I hate sin passionately. I hate false teaching passionately. I love people passionately. and that drives me to serve God. I just needed to control that fleshly action of mine, not get rid of all those emotions completely, because today God's using them for His glory. I can be a bold street preacher, I can be loving, I can rebuke, I can exhort. A teacher's got to have all those things, and I can use those. And God has shown me how to hone those all to His glory. I couldn't have done it without Him. So I'm glad, me personally, that I have that type of emotion in me, and it's just been tempered for His use. Right? Jesus flipped tables, didn't He? Yeah, righteous anger. Paul said, don't sin in your anger. And he rebuked false teachers. So did John the Baptist. So did Peter. So we can use these things if we tunnel them, focus them rightly for God in His order and in His ways. You need to learn to control your flesh and tunnel your sexual desires. Either put them away and you'll never be married if that's what you know. If you say, I'm never going to be married, you need to put them away. Live a celibate life. You can do it. Or if you know you could never do that and you've prayed about it, then you're going to tunnel that into a married life. And it will be very, very prosperous, productive, enjoyable, and God-honoring. You don't do away with it. You focus it rightly. Apostle Paul talks about crucifying the flesh. This is all what we're talking about here. And that is the key area to focus when it comes to this sin and many more. We're going to get to some other sins. Take control over it. And you must master your flesh and the things of your fallen nature, not be a slave to it. Remember, Paul said, I want to be mastered by nothing. That's what we have to be, whether it comes to sexual urges or any other sin of the flesh. The point I'm trying to make here is you must not allow yourself to be led to selfish gratification, whether it's sexual or just of your flesh. That's your main issue. You're allowing yourself to be led by your flesh versus being led by the Spirit. It's not really the sexual urges. God put those in you. It's that you're not rightly dividing it. You're not walking in what's right for you today and saving that part for where it is proper. God gave you those desires. I'm not going to deny that. You shouldn't. No one should. But letting your flesh take control and practicing them outside of God's order, oh, you're in sin, because 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us God is not the author of confusion. If you're doing this sin and you're confused, it's not of God. You should be saving it for when it is of God. Now, Jesus, our Lord, Master, Creator, Savior, Messiah, He was very harsh with His words, and He told us how to deal with such sins. Matthew 18:8-9. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it out from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes be cast in to hellfire. You know, people tell me I'm bold and I say bold things. Have you ever read Jesus' words? It's amazing how bold He was and the things He said that cut like a razor. So what this tells us is we need to use wisdom, right? The beginning of wisdom is fear of God, by the way. You should be fearing God and how you live your life. That's key. And what causes you to these sexual sins? Any sin, really. But we're focusing on that one. Is it watching TV? Toss it out. You should get rid of your TV anyway. It's a cancer. Is it using the internet alone or unfettered or without accountability? Get rid of it. Get a flip phone till you're stronger. Is it you work next to a bunch of people of the opposite sex that really tempt you? You know what? There's other jobs out there. Get a job where you're not close to the opposite sex, where you're tempted into these things. Here's one. Is it idle time? Boredom. You worked hard. I'm bored. All of a sudden you fall into a pit, a trap of, I want to please myself and do what I like. Whether it's the sin of self-gratification or it could be any other sin that we'll talk about. We're going to get a hold of some of those. You must know yourself and where you fall into these things and per Jesus, pluck it out. Fill your day up with good, godly, pure things and don't allow the flesh in and you limit your ability to sin against your body and against God. Think about it. Your life is like gold and silver. I was just talking to a brother about this. What do they do with gold and silver? They burn it real hot. Why? it burns off the impurities. It's called dross, and they scoop the top off. It's junk. They throw it away. What's left? Pure gold, pure silver. Jesus is telling us, pluck it out, get rid of it, purify our lives. No matter what we have to do. Yeah, it's radical, right? Radical means biblical. Let's get that straight. Radical means biblical. But if you won't act radical, biblical, for Jesus in these things, you're not going to live radical, biblical, for Jesus in the rest of your life. Think about it. It's just common sense. You have to do the first things first and build on a sound foundation. So I want to use some illustrations, taking us maybe away from this particular topic, self-gratification, sexually. And let's talk about some other common examples, sins of the flesh, that what I'm trying to teach you, you can apply this whole mindset to as well. Let's compare that sexual sin that most people focus on today. I mean, people focus on this way too much because there's a lot of other sin going on too. And then we can address a real issue in more depth as we're trying to do the flesh, not just sexual urges. Here's some examples of fallen fleshly ways that all of us may have to battle daily as saints. Ready? Greed. Yeah. Hate. Selfishness. Envy. Gluttony. Lust for many things. Doesn't have to be just sex. Anger. I talked about that one. Coveting. Pride. The list could go on and on. There's so many sins. Let's look at gluttony. Proverbs 23:21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Again, here in America, I'm sure it's like this around the world. I hear from saints it's like that too. This sexualized culture, they want to hype these sexual sins and keep it on everybody's mind. They're trying to sexualize small children, trying to sexualize singles. They're trying to do it. It's Satan's tool, Satan's the enemy at work against us. And they want to focus on all those sexual sins, but they don't focus at the disease. Let's look at gluttony. Gluttony is just as hard for people to control. I meet many people that have this problem. Millions of people are overweight and have a gluttony problem. Why is this? Well, think about it. Just like God gives you sexual urges, he does. God gives the body urges to eat many times a day. Okay? And think about it. This can be easily abused in our flesh if we don't take control of it. When you're depressed, people eat. When they're sad, they eat. When they're joyous, they eat. They celebrate, they eat. I mean, people eat all the time in this culture. We're like Sodom and Gomorrah in America. Gluttonous, plenty, more food, bring it. There's a golden buffet place. We called it Golden Glutton Bucket because you go there for $35 and you can eat till you want to pass out. Yeah, I used to do it as a pagan, and I did it some as a new Christian. I quickly learned eating and spending my money that way was not a good thing, so I repented of that. We don't do that anymore. So gluttony, it's not much different than sexual desires, right? And sexual desires fade as you get older, your body changes, but the desire to eat never really changes until you get sick and you're dying. And so people eat, don't control their flesh. They might complain about all kinds of things, but the root of the problem is the disease they have is their flesh and their lack of discipline and not walking in the Spirit. I see a lot of people, younger, middle-aged Bible teachers, walking around that are obese. I'm getting ready to do an article on it. It's shameful, really. It's just another one of these sins of the flesh that people aren't controlling. They're not cutting the snake off at the head, as they say, and dealing with the disease. So my point is, the flesh versus the Spirit is the real issue in these many pitfalls, not just sexual desires. If you self-gratify yourself, the chances are you're great at also pleasing your flesh in all these other areas. Greed, lust, gluttony, hate, whatever it is. And you're a victim to your flesh because you're being led by it. You're being mastered by it. Your heart's not right before God, and you need to make a change. You need to repent and turn from these things. I always ask men, and my wife and I when we counsel ladies, what are you feeding most, the spirit man or the flesh man? Who's going to win in a battle? The one you feed the most. Amen? So again, here Jesus proves my point on this flesh and heart matter. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Yeah, if you got a mouth like a sailor, you swear and cuss a lot, use vulgar words, your lips aren't your problem. Your heart and your flesh is your problem. Your heart is a fleshly, carnal heart that either is in rebellion against God or needs to be made new. Maybe he's not born again at all. The heart and the flesh is the issue, not your sex drive, when we're covering this issue. You need to focus on that, and you can stop this problem sooner and put it in its rightful place. So now that we see the fallen flesh is the real issue, we see that this is sin, we're going to talk about how are we supposed to overcome it on a daily basis to victory. Now again, I'm speaking to those who are born of the gospel, faith in Christ's shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, repentance, turning from all sin, flesh, worldliness, churchianity, all those things. Be born again by the Spirit of God. When God sees a willing vessel, you're striving in holiness and obedience, which you don't live this way willfully. You fight against it, and you endure in the faith, moving yourself on for the purpose and the glory of God. God gives us His Spirit, and we must be guided by it. That's the key. Walking in the Spirit. Jesus, I love this verse, John 16:33, promised us victory. He's overcome the world. Well, how do you get victory in a war? If you ever studied war, which hopefully you didn't, but maybe in your pagan past you did, victory is made up of a whole bunch of battles. And some you win, some you lose, but over time you win a lot more than you lose. And the ultimate battle is yours. That's what Christ did for us. The ultimate battle is won by Him, but we got a bunch of small battles we got to walk through. And these are the ones you have to win in order to endure and strive to stay on the narrow road, Luke 13:24. So if we are led by the Spirit of God, not our flesh, not our sex urges, not our stomachs, not our hate, not our greed, not our lust for other things, power, greed, money, material things, favor of man, we're not going to fulfill the fleshly ways. People say, how do I do this? Don't walk in the flesh. You won't fulfill it. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16-18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. This is a war we're in, right? Ephesians 6. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So walking in the Spirit is a safeguard against most all sin. If you walk in the Spirit, close to God, drawing near to God, He draws near to you, you're walking in the Word, you have good biblical fellowship and accountability with other true saints, you're going to work your way out of so much sin. And you're going to have your life narrowed down on that narrow road of holiness versus living a fleshly life, opening yourself up to all kinds of things, guarding what you see, guarding who you associate with, guarding what you do. Yeah, the Spirit life is a guarded life. The fleshly life is lived wide open for the desires and pleasures you want. I lived that way as a pagan. It's no way to live, trust me. How about Romans 8? This also informs us on this. Romans 8, verse 1, 4, and 6 through 10. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're living for the flesh, you're condemned. Tells us that. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once again, slaps us right in the face, doesn't it? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yeah, living in your sin and your flesh, it's death. How does that make you feel? It should make us repent. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're pleasing yourself in this flesh. You're not pleasing God. That's something to really ponder. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man may have not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, do you catch that? Sin is death. but the spirit is life. You know, you got to ask yourself, how valuable is this sexual self-gratification when you know that? Talk about living in the moment or living for eternity. Yeah, nothing else needs to be said there. So I know what you're going to say. Oh, that's easy to talk about. But how do you really walk in the Spirit? What does that mean? Well, if you're born again by the gospel and God's Spirit is in you, you need to meditate on the gospel every day, preach it to yourself. Walk through it so you know Christ shed his blood and it'll help you to fight and battle sin. And then consider Christ is living in you and through you via the Holy Spirit. What? Yeah, Christ, the King of Glory, is living in you through you via the Holy Spirit. Being the perfect Messiah he was, walking in the Spirit is doing that which he would have done at all times. It also means not doing what he wouldn't do. Amen? Think about that. Do we do what he did and what Paul did? We're supposed to imitate them and don't do what they wouldn't do. I just have a question. Could you even consider our glorious Savior doing such a thing by himself as a single man? I don't even want to ponder that. But you need to ask yourself, is that a Christ-like behavior? No, it's not. It's not becoming of Christ and it's not becoming of us as his people. We're given a new mind via the gospel. We must have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:15. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, you think on different things than your flesh wants, and you starve that flesh out. The Bible is there to help us. It's the inspired word of God. We're commanded. Go look these verses up, and I've got articles on all these at my teaching blog. We're to live holy. We're to kill our flesh. We're to lose this life. We're to set our mind on things above. We're to flee all appearance of evil. We're to obey the scriptures. We're to love God and love our neighbor. We're to strive on the narrow road. We're to keep ourselves pure. We're to be blameless. Hey, we're to be a pure bride for Christ. How do pure brides act waiting for their betrothed? That's something to ask yourself right there. So by striving daily in the Spirit, we're walking in it. We're not letting our guard down. We never look to be led by the flesh. We kill it. We put it down. Crucify it. It's a daily guard we must do. If you're not doing it daily, you're going to end up not doing it weekly or monthly. You're going to fall right in the ditch. Right? You're going to fall into sin. This is about being diligent over our souls and working out our salvation with fear and trembling, per Paul in the book of Philippians. And what's great about the body, if you know true biblical holy saints, not churchianity people, we can look after each other, we can have accountability, we encourage each other, lift each other up when we fall down, praise what God's doing in us when we're doing good. You know, the bar of righteousness is super high. Don't listen to churchianity. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I know. They're going to tell you all, well, Jesus has perfect righteousness that we don't have. That's absolutely true. We need his perfect righteousness. We've all ruined our own. But we are told over and over, I've got articles on this, many, that we're to live in righteousness as we seek after him. Go read 1 Timothy 4:16. It tells us by living righteous in sound doctrine, we save our souls. Yeah, Jesus pulls us out of the mud, tells us how to clean ourselves up, gives us the word and the spirit, then we're expected to stay out of the mud, folks. No excuses. Amen? We also read here of a dire warning of sin. In our ministry, we use this verse all the time to disciple people. Hebrews 3, 13 and 14. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Are you holding steadfast in all these things? Not walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit, avoiding all sin, plucking things out, keeping your mind and thought life pure. Are you being steadfast to the end? Something to consider, something you got to train yourself at. Now, daily is the key, as I said, walking in the Spirit. And how we live daily is vital because like the sun going up, coming down, night coming, day coming, It's a pattern. We follow patterns to live this faith life. It's why I tell people, get rid of your TV, dump the movies, worldly hobbies, sports, politics, entertainment. Focus only on the areas of life that Jesus and Paul would have focused on. You know what? This is what I come up with. If I'm missing something, help me. Email me, man. Don'tperish@outlook.com. They focused on ministry. They focused on their fellowship and biblical saints. They were studied in the Word. They ate and they slept. Got to take care of your temple. They worked when they had to work to support themselves. And then they went and recreated themselves in God's creation. Did they do anything else? I don't see it in Scripture. That's the life of a holy, godly, obedient, called, set-apart saint, the ecclesia of God. If you're finding your life full of entertainment, idle time, self-indulgence, fleshly ways, sexual temptations, you're not on the narrow path. You've gone in the ditch. You need to repent and get back on the narrow road and live like a true, holy, godly saint. If you focus all your time there, and those things I just gave you, those disciplines, those ways to redeem the time. The Bible says redeem the time. What you're going to do is you're going to squeeze the flesh out of time to cause you to stumble. Yeah, it's going to run out of time. You'll be working on good, godly, pure, holy things. There's no time to get yourself into all kinds of sin. There's an old saying, people say idle time is the devil's workshop, right? But there's a lot of truth to idleness. The Bible speaks against it. Give yourself idleness, either Satan or sin, your flesh, whatever's going to find you out. We need to be doers of the Word, right? James says we need to be doers of the Word. So we're called to study, to teach, to fellowship, to work if we have to eat, sleep, take care of our temple, to pray, to preach, provide for others if that's our job. Men, ladies, do we really have time or any standing to be self-indulging ourselves in this sin or any other sin, for that matter? Pray unceasingly. Yeah, I don't think we have time to be doing that. Our enemy, Satan, is the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, seeking whom he will devour. Why do you think he's created a culture that's so sexually corrupt? Because he knows he can damn you with that sexual culture to woo your sexual flesh. Yeah, it's a trap he set for you. Are you going to avoid it at all costs? Good question. So we can ruin our faith walk. A married man could be married for 30 years. In one day, he can go and lay with a harlot and ruin his entire marriage. And so can saints walk for months and years following Christ, but then fall into willful sexual sin, any fleshly sins, and we defile ourselves in a sense. Speaking of defiling, it's not a word you hear much. In the Old Testament, to defile was you were made unclean, not holy, polluted before God. The word is tame. It means impure and polluted. Matthew 15:19-20. Out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, that's sexual sin, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Jesus came to put away the Torah law, and he removed our defilements from us. I get that. I preach it all the time. But ask yourself, are you not, in a sense, defiling your walk and your faith and your commitment to God as you walk and live in willful, sexual, fleshly sins, whether it's self-gratification, any other impurity, any other sexual sin? Are you not defiling yourself before a holy God when you're supposed to repent and turn and forsake your sin? Ponder that. We don't want you, I don't want to walk around living a sinful, corrupt, defiled life. If we sin often, and in a sense, we are defiling our walk. Just think about that. If we sin often, in a sense, we're defiling our walk before the Lord. How can we live in the power of the Spirit to overcome if we're living in willful sin? We can't. That's why the Bible warns against willful sin. I need to remind you of this point. Remember, our Savior said, if you have an issue with a brother, don't pray. Go first, fix it with that brother. Right? Basically, God doesn't want to hear your problems if you got a problem with a brother. Well, I have a question. If that is true with your brother, what if you have a sin issue before a holy God? let's say sexual self-gratification is your issue, or gluttony, or lust, or hate, or greed, or any of these, and you haven't repented to willfully fight it, vow to stop it, strive against it, the Lord knows your heart, you're ripping everything out to stop it, is God going to hear your prayers? John 9:31 says this, Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, he heareth him. Wow. Is living in fleshly sexual sin the will of God? No. That's a dire warning to us all, isn't it, saints? It is. Now, be careful. Your family, modern pastors, they're going to tell you, oh, the gospel is just believe in Jesus. You don't have to do anything. Grace, 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 they cry. Folks, I'm here to tell you they're enemies of the gospel truth. They are here to set you up to live in your flesh so you'll keep sitting in their pew and handing money in their plate offering plate. They want you to sin on daily, set you up to fall in your flesh and defile and be in sin and fall out of the grace of God because of willful sin. Who are they working for? Are they working for God? Are they working for Satan, who's developed this sexual culture to destroy? Remember, he's come to seek, kill, and destroy? Yeah. Remember Jesus' words in John 10. Everybody loves to use John 10, where Jesus says, my sheep, my sheep. What's the path to eternal life? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. If you keep and practice willfully, ongoing, fleshly sexual sins, any fleshly sins, any sins at all, are you following Christ? No. You might follow a bit, then you stop and you do your sin, then you get back and follow. God won't be mocked. He knows your heart. He knows what you're doing. He sees into the dark places, it tells us in Hebrews. He sees every hidden thing. Do you ever notice porn shops are always stuck in dark places? They let you go. The windows are all covered. God sees everything. We can't hide these things. So are we really following Christ as we live in these sins? Whether it be sexual self-gratification or any other sin. No, we're not. Here's the thing. We need to get our direction straight. Don't tell me you're following Christ. I'm not going to tell you I'm following Christ as I'm keeping willful sin, sexual or any other. We need to get our direction straight. That's not following the narrow road, is it? Let me tell you a quick story. When I was a pagan, I used to go elk hunting in Colorado. Yep, I spent my time idly hunting for big antlers. I remember one time I was in the mountains, and it was getting dark and it was cold. We had to follow our compass back to camp. Yeah, we would have got stuck on the mountain in cold and rain. I had to follow the needle that was telling me north, go north, follow the arrow north back to the camp. You know what I remember? If I didn't follow that arrow perfectly and focus on it almost every step, I would go too far left, too far right. Before you know it, I'm headed west. I'm headed east. I'm way off course. I had to focus on that arrow, or I would have been lost in the darkness. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to focus on the Spirit and the Word. And if we get swayed a little bit in our flesh, sexual sin, any kind of sin, gluttony, hate, we're off the narrow road. We're in the ditch, and you need to repent and come out of the ditch, lest you will be totally lost in God's wrath and judgment. So let's be really honest and upfront. I know failure is an ever-present thing, ready and waiting in all types of sin. I know that. I don't teach that you can be sinless this side of heaven and never sin again. No, I don't teach that. I have an article on sinless perfection. But we are called to be perfect by Jesus our Master, Matthew 5:48. And that word perfect, when you look at the Greek, means fully mature. Doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake or sin. It means you're mature. I have a question. Is a mature saint of God doing ongoing willful self-gratification, sexual sin, or any other kind of sin on a regular basis without warring against it with all their might to leave it? You're not mature if you're doing that. Need to ponder that. We're told to be mature. That's a command from our Savior. Now, I know sin can happen in a weak moment here and there. We get weak, we fall, we might choose it. We need to repent of it ASAP, be sorrowful over it. Cry out to God, turn, go the other direction. That's what repentance is. Change your mind, change your ways, and stop practicing it. Stop allowing it in. and do the radical biblical things to pluck it out. God knows your heart. Like the police officer, if he knows you always keep the speed limit and he sees you every day and one day you drift over the limit, he might give you a warning going, you know what, I see you all the time. I know you're not a speeder. But if you've gotten 6 speeding tickets and he catches you for the 7th time, you think he's going to give you a warning? Or is he going to go to court and the judge might take your license from you? See the difference between willful sin that we keep doing and people, those in authority, like us, police officer, judge, or God. Ultimately, God knows our heart and why we're doing these things. We can't fool him. The good news of the gospel, I preach it all the time. Christ is faithful and good and just. He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us if we confess and flee our sin. Forsake it. Strive to do better because of what he's done. Born again saints of God hate their sin. All sin. They don't practice it willfully and enjoy it. If you're enjoying this sin, you're probably not born of God. If you are born of God and you're enjoying this sin, you're in great state of rebellion. And if you're not grieving over this, you better cry out to God and ask for conviction and repentance from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So yeah, we got to admit, we know who we are. Paul says that Romans 7 guy, why do I do what I don't want to do? Paul struggled, but Paul didn't give in and live in that sin. He fought, he battled, and he said, walk in the Spirit and you can overcome. And at his time of death, he said he was ready to go receive his reward. You think Paul was living in sexual self-gratification sin at the time of his death? Sure doesn't sound like it from his words. He was ready to go meet his Savior. Paul put all that in his past and strived hard against it. That's what we need to do. He's a model. Jesus was a model. So we have a great hope. It's in him and what he's done for us, not ourselves. I can't do any of this on my own, neither can you. But we must be united to him in this new blood covenant. Then we have our hope. He's our vine. We're the branches. What do branches do that are connected to a really godly, holy vine? John 15. They produce much godly fruit. They don't produce sexual sin and fleshly sins on and on over and over and over. Test your tree. Jesus said you know a tree by its fruits. So again, we as saints will fail. I understand that. I give understanding there and long suffering if you're striving against it. You get weak. You can commit any kind of sin at any time. Yep. Like I said, Romans 7. But the key is you're not walking, living in willful sin. Go read Romans 10:26-27. If you willfully live in sin, you're not covered by the blood of Christ. Go read it. They try to twist that out of context. It means what it says. If you willfully sin against God and you don't repent and have remorse and try to change it, it's on your record. It's not on Christ's. Go struggle with that. So we're walking in the Spirit. We're imitating Jesus and Paul. This is how we overcome it. We have a great power source in the Word, in the Spirit, in the body of Christ. If you have other saints, we can do this. Last thoughts I have for you. People have even claimed to be Christians will say, oh, these are natural desires. Don't worry. Nobody's perfect. Do what feels good. These are false, wicked, heretical people. Wells with no water, as I like to say. They're put there in your path to stumble you by the enemy Satan. Sexual sin is against the body. Sexual sin is not of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see how important sexual sin is to God, how much he hates it and calls it out, in the early body of Christ, in Acts 15, the new disciples were told what they should avoid. Ready? Acts 15, verse 20. But that we write unto them that they should abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, that's sexual sin, from things strangled, and from blood. Yeah, God hates fornication, sexual sin. It's a serious, serious thing. He created sex to be a beautiful thing in the bonds of marriage. Outside the bonds of marriage, it's wickedness. Kind of like all these other things. Hating sin is good. Hating people is bad. Eating some food to sustain is good. Overeating is bad. Desiring material things to take care of family and friends is good. Desiring excess material things is covetous. You see the balance we must walk in. The middle of the narrow road, the ditches are on both sides. Now, men, ladies, if you're listening, don't make excuses. None of us have an excuse. I can't control this. It's too hard. I can't stop any of these sins we're talking about. I need a wife or a husband. It's not my fault. I'm here to tell you because I love you. I'm looking after your soul if you're listening to this. It is your fault. If you're sinning willfully and you're sinning in selfishness and you're keeping sexual sin or any of these other sins, it is your fault. You're going to have to answer to God lest you repent and forsake it. Victory is available in Christ and what he's done. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Just had a saint ask me about that verse the other day. Okay, we know the flesh is weak, right? It's no excuse. What do? Stop living in your flesh and live in the spirit. Amen? Romans 16:6. We're getting close to the end here. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Sexual sin leads to death, but obedience to God leads to righteousness. Jesus said you need to have righteousness. So, some basic advice for singles as I close this out and then married. If you're single and you can't control your sexual urges and you've tried, you're battling, you're prayed about it, you've fasted about it, maybe you have an accountability partner you mention it to, someone you're close to, don't talk to strangers about this stuff. Don't go to sex counselors. Close brothers and sisters only, if at all. But after this long, long battle, you can't find a way out of it. I'm just here to tell you, it's okay to pray about finding a marriage partner. Don't go seeking, just grabbing on anyone. But it's okay to pray about it. God's a giver of good things, and if it's what you need, God will make a way. But never, ever settle for an ungodly partner or a partner with sin and issues to please your sex life. That's foolish, per Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You won't be happy with a sex life with a person that's not a godly, holy, set-apart Titus 2, Proverbs 31 woman. I promise you that. So whether you get a godly wife or you never marry, you're still going to have to learn to control your flesh in all these other areas. I promise you that. It's not going to go away until you die. And when you do marry, or as you age and our bodies change and sex desires and drives change, yep, they do, you don't get away from the other aspects of your flesh, the belly, anger, imaginations. Oh, they'll stumble you. They will. You have to be able to walk in the spirit and control your flesh. Don't be deceived to think that's your main problem. No, your flesh is your main problem, and it's always going to be there till you master it, overcome it in the word and in the spirit. Until you're walking as a mature believer in the spirit, you're going to stumble around on these things, and it doesn't take long to get mature. How much effort do you put into it? How much have you plucked out? How much dedication in the word? How much prayer? How much fasting? Yeah, this all brings you to a place of maturity. Remember Timothy? Young man, but wise and sound in scripture. How did he get there? He had a good foundation. Yeah, we can get there as well. To the married folks, if you've got these urges that you're battling with, you need to go talk to your partner. Work that out with them. That's your union. That's the closest person in the world. Make sure both people's needs are being met so that there's not temptation. Paul says, come together so you don't have temptation. Don't be running off to pastors, sex counselors, buying books. Talk to your partner, pray about it, and work it out between you two. Because it's between you two. It's an intimate thing between you two. Communication in love in the bonds of marriage. Get it out in the light between you, not in the dark where Satan loves to toy with those things, right? I see no need, like I said, for pastors, all these counselors, these books, these conferences. The Word of God and two desiring souls can get it right for the glory of God. So after all I've said this, after all that is done here, if you want to follow Christ and you want to be a godly, set-apart, holy saint set on heaven, you cannot allow your flesh to lead you to destruction in any sin. Sexual self-gratification, lust for money, greed, hatred, gluttony, covetousness, whatever. We must do what Paul says. This is a key. 2 Corinthians 2:16. But he that is spiritual judges all things. So judge everything rightly. And then it says, yet he himself is judged of no man. So if we judge ourselves, we don't have to worry about people judging us, God chastising us. Peter says judgment begins in the house of God, right? Right here. Right here. It starts with Brother James and my home and goes out from there. So if we test and judge ourselves, we can avoid a lot of these problems rather than living in them, making excuses about them. Deal with these sins ASAP. Attack it. Pray about it. Study it. Pluck things out. Tear out what causes this. Get rid of it. Communicate with your partner. Be blameless before a holy God. He sees your effort or your lack of it. We have an awesome, great resource in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. You don't have to be afraid in this. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get your mind sound. Then you'll approach this biblically and you can root it out. Guard your eyes. Psalm 101:3. I will set no wicked thing behind before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Your imagination is set before your eyes, your mind's eye. Make sure you're controlling your imagination. Matthew 6:33. What should we be seeking, men, ladies? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Everything I just talked about, all these sins, even the sexual sin, Jesus said it'll all be added unto you if you seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Why? You're on the narrow road and you're walking away from all of that. You're not walking in it. So the key is to control your mind in the spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Do this daily. Walk in the spirit. You will not fulfill the lusts and the deeds of the flesh. We need to know that the real enemy behind all this is sin. It's our flesh. Yep, Satan's our enemy. It's not sex drive. It's not food. It's not material things. The word of God is so true. Our flesh is set to destroy us. It's at enmity. Satan is there to use it against us. Walk in wisdom. Walk in the spirit. Walk in the word. So thanks for bearing with me. This was a long one, but I think I needed to cover this in detail in this unusual topic. I trust that you believe or you think I handled this in a direct but tasteful manner, not to offend anyone. I hope it helps people in many sins, not just this one sin, and shows you the disease, not the symptom. Jesus has the cure for the disease. It's the gospel. Repent and obey the gospel, and everything else will be worked out for you. I hope it blessed many people. Share it. Go to our website, don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog, sisters' blogs, audios, articles, videos. Preaching the gospel, street preaching the gospel, making disciples. Yeah, warning you about the wicked flesh. It's out there to get us. But what a glorious Savior we have. Cling to him with all that you are. We're here to help you. Hey, till next time, I hope you have a glorious day. May God be praised.